got a 50-year-old man in cardiac arrest, and our building just lost power.
All right, give me jumper cables, rubber gloves, 3,000 grams of Solmedrol. Stat.
What are you, MacGyver?
No, I'm the Generalist. Generalist.
Time for another edition of The Generalist, the segment where our GP teams address topics that we commonly see in either the office, the emergency room, the ward, the obstetrics unit, you name it, we'll cover it. This month, Heidi sits down with Ben Shepherd for a chat about minor abdominal trauma in the late stages of pregnancy. Now, a quick little explainer here. You're going to hear Ben using some terms that might not be familiar to everyone because Ben does hail from Australia. The key term that you're probably going to hear used is CTG, cardiotachography, and that's something that in North America we tend to call electronic fetal heart monitoring or electronic fetal tracings. So, just so you know, that's what he's going on about. Take it away, Heidi and Ben.
Ben, my first question for you on this topic has two parts. Number one, what in the world is minor trauma? And two, can you define late pregnancy?
Sure. Let's just keep it practical and say abdominal trauma in which you're not actually worried about other injuries in the woman, and there now needs to be consideration about any uteroplacental complications. Late pregnancy really is from viability onwards, but really third trimester is where you often see women with minor trauma to the abdomen.
Just a quick little editorial point here. Throughout this piece, Ben and Heidi will be referring to minor trauma, but keep Ben's definition in mind. This isn't any minor trauma in third trimester, no twisted ankles or Coley's fractures. This refers to minor abdominal trauma that doesn't make you worried about other injuries in the woman's abdomen, but could still pose a risk to the uterus and the fetus inside. We all think about the big scary cases of placental abruption, but they are going to address a more subtle finding that we really don't want to miss. Okay, back to Ben and Heidi for real this time.
When I was reading up on this topic in preparation for our talk, I had no idea just how big a deal minor trauma is. Because 9 out of 10 traumatic injuries during pregnancy are classified as minor, but 60 to 70% of fetal death after trauma are the result of minor injuries. So it actually causes huge amounts of morbidity and mortality.
Yeah, I think this is why it's such an important topic to talk about, Heidi. You know, we're very well trained in emergency medicine and rural medicine to think about injuries, and we have our structured approach. But it's important that we just understand, particularly in late pregnancy, that the majority of the abdomen is taken up by the gravid uterus, and that really there's some sensitive structures there that are sensitive to injury even with minor trauma. And we'll discuss an approach to those patients, yeah, as we go along.
Okay, I want to give you a case, Ben. It's a 32-year-old female who is 36 weeks of gestation, and she presents to your emergency department because she was struck in the abdomen by a baseball bat. She was playing the role of catcher in a family baseball game, and her 10-year-old son lost control of the bat and it hit her in the stomach. She feels okay, her vital signs are good, fetal monitoring seems okay. What are you worried about in this sort of trauma?
You seem to be alluding to the fact that it doesn't seem like the woman's had a placental abruption. I think it's well understood that placental abruption is a real risk in abdominal trauma in late pregnancy, and that's a really important condition to diagnose. You know, things like uterine irritability and contractions, vaginal bleeding or reduced fetal movements, or of course an abnormal fetal heart rate tracing, they're really important indicators of that potential. But now that we have a woman whose assessment is quite reassuring, we just need to remember about the entity of fetomaternal hemorrhage. It isn't a placental abruption, but I guess you can think of it like an occult placental abruption. But the truth is it's a mixing and there's some fetal bleeding into the maternal circulation that isn't associated with placental separation, but does cause fetal anemia and subsequent fetal hypoxia and in some cases, fetal demise.
I glossed over assessment of the woman and the fetus. So please tell us in more detail what you would do to assess your patients.
We'll take it from the point that we're assessing a pregnant woman who we don't have concerns over significant abdominal or other injuries. This is a common presentation, and we need to assess the woman in several ways. Of course, we need to take a detailed obstetric history. We need to ask her about symptoms of fetal movements, abdominal pain or contractions, fluid loss or vaginal bleeding. These are all standard obstetric questions. And when it comes to the examination, apart from vital signs, we really need to think about, is there any uterine tenderness, uterine irritability or palpable contractions? And then just some assessments of the baby in terms of size and estimated gestation, presentation, i.e. is it head first or cephalic or breech. And then doing a CTG or cardiotocograph is really important for assessing fetal well-being in this setting.
Could you expand a little bit, please, on CTG and what that involves, just for the non-obstetrics practitioners?
Sure. So a cardiotocograph is a continuous monitoring device that, via Doppler measurement, assesses the fetal heart rate and traces that on a piece of paper. At the same time, there is detection of uterine activity, and therefore you get a picture of a fetal heart rate trend over time, as well as any associated uterine activity.
The initial evaluation of your patient and the fetus is fine in the emergency department. What do you do next?
The CTG really needs to be in place for 4 hours. The reason for that is that in the setting of fetomaternal hemorrhage, it really can be a very slow and small amount of bleeding initially. But over a period of 4 hours, you can actually have quite significant fetal anemia and therefore the changes associated with that or even fetal hypoxia on the CTG. So it really is continuous monitoring for at least 4 hours. It's also important that we, as a screening test, do a Kleihauer test. It's an investigation that involves looking for fetal blood cells in the maternal circulation. Unfortunately, as an investigation, it does have some limitations, but it is, I guess, the best additional screening test we have in the setting of possible fetomaternal hemorrhage.
Okay, a quick jump in here to reinforce a few points. We need to remember that while it is, of course, crucial to rule out placental abruption, we cannot just wash our hands of the case once that has actually been ruled out. We need to think about fetomaternal hemorrhage, where fetal cells get mixed in with the maternal circulation, even if there hasn't been a placental separation. We need to think about it because this can be a major problem that develops, but it can present quite slowly over time. So be sure to monitor mum and baby with at least 4 hours of continuous electronic fetal monitoring, as well as asking about decreased fetal movements, pain, and bleeding. If you don't, you might miss signs of fetal anemia, which could be a precursor to fetal hypoxia and which can even lead to fetal death. You have to think about this process in order to diagnose it, so have a high index of suspicion here, folks.
So you're content that the CTG is fine, mom seems fine, and you're ready to send them home. Is there any other criteria that you need to make sure you've crossed off your list before you send them home?
After 4 hours of normal fetal monitoring, so the CTG has been normal for a period of 4 hours, really you just need to ask yourself, is there any additional uterine activity? Is there any evidence of ruptured membranes? Does the woman have any vaginal bleeding? Does the woman have a positive Kleihauer test? If none of those are present and she's got good social circumstances and the ability to seek follow-up if needed, then it's reasonable to send the woman home as long as she's also had her anti-D injection if she is Rh negative, because this is considered a sensitizing event irrespective of the Kleihauer test or CTG findings.
I'm glad you mentioned follow-up. What do we tell women in terms of symptoms and signs to look for that indicate that they should seek ongoing care?
I think the biggest one to highlight is a change in fetal movements. It's known that one of the causes of unexplained stillbirth is fetomaternal hemorrhage, and so that's a really important one to emphasize. The other things to look for are things that would be more intuitive to both the practitioner and the family, and they're things like uterine contractions, abdominal pain, or vaginal bleeding.
This is just a bit of an aside, but have you come across any studies on the risk associated with recurrent minor trauma in late pregnancy?
I haven't, Heidi. I guess a few things come to mind. I would think that with recurrent minor abdominal trauma in late pregnancy, you know, you need to think about what's happening at home. We know that domestic violence does increase in pregnancy, and so I'd be just asking the question as to why someone was having repeated minor trauma to the abdomen. It's usually quite a frightening event for the first time after being sort of admitted to the birthing unit for monitoring. But I would think that I would just treat each event the same as the first one, and I'm not aware of any longitudinal data along those lines.
Would you like to quickly summarize for us, Ben, your approach to minor trauma in late pregnancy?
Recap.
All I'd say is that as an emergency provider or in a rural hospital, once we're happy that a pregnant woman doesn't have significant injuries, the job isn't finished. If there's any evidence of minor trauma to the abdomen, these women really need at least 4 hours of CTG monitoring and a Kleihauer test done And if all of these things are fine, we need to educate them about signs for follow-up, because fetal-maternal hemorrhage is particularly an occult but potentially devastating condition, as well as the more obvious complication being placental abruption that we're trained to pick up on the basis of abdominal pain, bleeding, and abnormal fetal heart rate tracing.
That was indeed a great overview. I really liked how Ben reminded us that just because we have ruled out placental abruption, our job is not done. Be on the lookout for more subtle signs of fetal distress, and be sure to give the anti-D injections if mum is rhesus negative, even if the Kleihauer test is negative and the CTG is normal, because this is a sensitizing event. Thanks again to Ben and Heidi for another great obstetrics review.